This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with Melissa Flournoy, president of Planned Parenthood in this region, and GOP political consultant Scott Wilfong. They have varied views on bills in the Louisiana legislature regarding abortion. One bill has cleared all the legislative hurdles. It would require doctors to have admitting privileges within 30 miles of or at hospitals within 30 miles of where abortions are performed. And the other that is now gaining a lot of attention would prohibit Planned Parenthood employees from teaching in public schools. We'll talk with Scott Wilfong and Melissa Flournoy about this. We'll also hear from Jimmy Moran, former head of the Tiger Athletic Foundation, and he will discuss the Marketplace Fairness Act. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Frank Barnett is the producer today. 297-5633 is your number. Outside Louisiana or Baton Rouge, please call 877-217-5757. Email is possible if you'd like to reach us that way at inkstershow@wrkf.org. Our guest is Jimmy Moran. He's the former president of the Tiger Athletic Foundation and the CEO of Sterling Properties and a big supporter of the Marketplace Fairness Act. This act has passed the United States Senate, but has not passed the United States House. Good morning, Jimmy Moran. Nice to talk with you from North Carolina today.
Good morning, Jim. Yes.
Now, this is all about online purchases. How would it affect people who shop online?
Well, it may affect some, might not affect others. There is a kind of a quirk in the law that does not require certain internet sellers to collect sales taxes, Louisiana sales taxes, when they sell to a Louisiana resident. Some have to collect it, others don't, and it's creating about a $23 billion loophole. In terms of nationwide, in terms of sales tax collection, and the Marketplace Fairness Act is designed to correct that.
Well, what is the loophole? What's causing this?
Well, the loophole was caused by a Supreme Court ruling back in 1992 that basically said a state could not impose a sales tax on a seller from out of state unless he had a location in state. A good example of that, of one that they can, Walmart, for example, is an Arkansas-based company, but they have many, many stores throughout Louisiana. So whether you buy from Walmart in one of their stores in Louisiana or whether you buy from Walmart over the internet, it doesn't matter. Walmart must collect that sales tax and remit it to the state of Louisiana. On the other hand, if you have a remote internet seller who may be in Idaho, for example, that has an internet site, he has no locations in Louisiana, that seller is not, the taxes are due, but that seller is not required to collect those taxes and send them to the state of Louisiana. So that's really what the quirk is.
297-5633 is your number. The Marketplace Fairness Act, it's been debated for some time, and as I noted, it has cleared the U.S. Senate. Do you know how our senators voted on it in Louisiana?
Senator Landrieu voted in favor of it, and she was a sponsor and a proponent of it. Senator Vitter voted against it, and so thanks to Mary Landrieu for helping us get half the way there with the Senate approval about a year ago. And we need to get House approval sometime this year.
Well, the act is designed to compel online and catalog retailers, so-called remote sellers, no matter where they are located, to collect sales tax at the time of a transaction, exactly like local retailers are already required to do. So, does this put local retailers at a disadvantage of some kind?
It really does, and the local retailers that have been negatively affected the most are our typical mom-and-pop retailers, the small retail sellers and shopping centers and downtowns or whatever. They just simply can't compete with an 8 or 9% tax differential that they must charge when they make a sale, but the internet seller, even though the tax is due, the internet seller doesn't have to collect it at the time of the sale. So it's hurt our small shopping centers, neighborhood shopping centers, and primarily small retailers.
Well, what's your reason for being in this fight? As I stated, you're the CEO of Sterling Properties. What's compelled you to get into this?
Well, Sterling, I've been in the commercial real estate business for almost 40 years, and Sterling is one of the largest owners and developers of retail shopping centers throughout Louisiana. And we began to see this have an impact, again, on our smaller retailers, going back 20 years ago. That's why we jumped into the fray. I've been very involved with the Shopping Center Trade Association for years and years, and have been active in Washington. So this is one that particularly that we want to get corrected so that we can restore some health in our local mom-and-pop retailers.
297-5633 if you'd like to talk with Jimmy Moran, the former head of the Tiger Athletic Foundation and also CEO of Sterling Properties. And as you heard, Jimmy, he's also the former national president of the Shopping Centers Association of America. David in Atlanta asks if you lobbied Senator Vitter on this issue.
I did. I know Senator Vitter very, very well, and I did lobby him on it. And ultimately, he was really conflicted, as many Republicans have been conflicted, because this appears to be a new tax. This appears to be a tax that, to the uninformed consumer, that is not due. And that appearance of a new tax, I think, is one of the things that conflicted the senator. This is really a collection issue. The taxes are due. In fact, on every Louisianian, when he fills out his income tax return, there's a certain block in there that said, did you buy anything over the Internet last year and that you didn't pay taxes? And if you did, record those taxes here. So this is truly the misperception is this is a new tax, and it's really a collection issue, the ability to collect the tax that we already have on the books in the state of Louisiana and on the books of 45 other states in the United States.
297-5633. Joe on Acadian, good morning. You're on the air with Jimmy Moran. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Jim. Jimmy, this is Joe Tregel. I used to be in the tax business for the state of Louisiana for a while. And I 1,000% agree with what you're saying. This is a patently unfair situation and is very, very detrimental to our local merchants, has been for many, many years. And I sincerely hope that you're going to be successful in the House. What's your strategy for in the House, knowing that it's all Republican control?
Well, Joe, first of all, good to hear your voice, and I'm very familiar of your many years of good service to the state of Louisiana, so appreciate hearing from you. I was in Washington just a few weeks ago, and the strategy is we've been doing hand-in-glove discussions and negotiations with primarily Republicans in the House who, again, have the same issue, I think, that Senator Vitter did, and that it's perceived as a new tax, and many of them have taken the no new tax pledge, and in their mind, in politics, perception is reality. So we're doing some one-on-one with them and letting them know. The other strategy is with Republican governors. State and local governments are struggling and have been struggling for years in terms of collecting enough tax. This has been kind of a slow bleed to where they've been losing sales taxes every year as the Internet gets more and more popular. So the Republican governors and the National Governors Association have endorsed this. So we've really asked the members of the House, Democrat or Republican, to listen to their governors, to listen to their mayors, to listen to their firemen and their policemen and all the people that are paid with local sales taxes and correct this. This is a $23 billion uncollected tax in the country. And in the state of Louisiana, the University of Tennessee estimate from a couple of years ago said that there's $800 million of uncollected tax. About half of that is state, and half of that is local. So that uncollected tax could go a long way in us balancing our budget at the state and local level.
You got one vote among the two Louisiana U.S. senators from the Democrat Mary Landrieu, who not only voted for your measure, but also is a advocate and a proponent pushing it. But in the House of Representatives, we have five Republicans and one Democrat. How are the Louisiana lawmakers stacking up in the U.S. House?
Well, I've got to give them credit. They're all giving, all of the of our House members are giving very thoughtful consideration to this. No one has given us a hard no. They're reviewing the legislation, looking at it. The legislation is still in committee, and I've got to give them credit. They're available to talk, to listen, to try to understand. They're also, in some ways, want to make sure that this legislation doesn't in any way negatively impact the tremendous growth we've seen in online sales. I mean, after all, that's gotten to be a very popular way for us consumers to buy, and they in no way want to see that happen. But at this stage of the game, they're giving it every consideration. Many of them have taken the no new tax pledge. So they're trying to fully understand the issues and the fact that this is not a new tax, but a collection issue of an existing tax.
And you say it's $23
billion? Countrywide, and that's a 2012 estimate, yes. $23 billion across the country. State of Louisiana, it's an $800 million uncollected tax on an annual basis and growing.
Well, I would think that some state lawmakers might be proponents of this. Have they gotten involved?
Well, they have. Interesting. This is a state and local tax, and some people have asked, well, why does the Congress have to get involved? This is not a tax at the federal level. And the reason Congress has to get involved is due to a Supreme Court ruling that goes back a long time ago, and having to deal with states being able to tax people who are sellers who are out of state. But our local officials, I've weighed in on with many of them. Many of them are very, very supportive of this. It sure would go a long way in solving some revenue problems that state and local government has had over the last few years. I've even chatted with our governor about it, who is a very conservative Republican, no new tax, and I've said, Governor, you know, if we get this fixed, then the legislature's got a decision to make, and that is if we're collecting taxes, which have been previously going uncollected, well, then maybe we can lower taxes somewhere else. We can actually lower tax rates by collecting the taxes that are already on the books. I think the governor likes that argument. So once we can get this approved by Congress and the state of Louisiana, our leadership, our legislature, and our governor, can then sit down and say, okay, we now have the ability to collect this tax. Do we need the additional revenue, or do we want to lower tax rates somewhere else? So it gives our local officials some options.
Well, Jimmy Moran, we will follow with you, and thank you for your insights today, and we'll see where this goes. What's the next step?
Okay, Jim. Well, I appreciate chatting with you and your
listeners. All right, well, it's before the House. How quickly will this be resolved in your analysis?
In my opinion, I think the House will deal with this piece of legislation sometime in the next 3 or 4 months. I think there will be a vote on this legislation soon.
Thank you, Jimmy Moran, and we'll be back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Do want to note that the LSU Baseball Tigers and the UL Ragin' Cajuns are both headed for the postseason as national seeds. UL, the number one team in the country, is the number six national seed, and LSU is the number eight seed as the seventh-ranked team in America. And at this point in the season, both teams are doing very well, but you got to say the University of Louisiana Lafayette is, at this point, the premier team in the state of Louisiana. 297-5633 is your number. Scott Wilfong is with us, and hopefully we'll be joined shortly by Melissa Flournoy, who is scheduled to be a part of this conversation. And Scott Wilfong, first of all, the legislature in its wisdom, the House and the Senate, passed a bill to require doctors to have admitting privileges within 30 miles of where they perform abortions at hospitals. This is modeled after a Texas law that is under court review. What do you think? Is this a good law?
Well, I think it definitely does. If you, it is definitely a great move for the pro-life movement. You know, I don't think that it's a.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been, I think, upheld already on one level in Texas. It's, you know, definitely going to reduce the number of abortions, which is what I would hope even those who call themselves pro-choice would like to see, as Melissa walks in, would like to see fewer abortions in this country. I hope that's something we can all agree on.
All right. Well, I know Melissa and Scott will not be in agreement on too many things based on previous conversations, and they may have to share a microphone here. So, Melissa, first of all, we're talking about the bill that's already cleared the legislature, the one that's modeled after the Texas statute that requires doctors to have admitting privileges within 30 miles of where they perform abortions. What's your take? Is this an effort to shut down abortion in Louisiana? Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, Jim, great to be with y'all this morning, and it's always great and fun to be with Scott. Yeah, I think this is really part of a national agenda to look at targeted regulations against abortion providers. It's similar to legislation that's passed in Texas and Alabama and Mississippi and Wisconsin and now here in Louisiana. And so, yeah, I do think the intent is to try and make access to safe and legal abortion care as difficult as possible.
So what would the end result be in Louisiana? How many clinics do we have, and how many of those would shut down if this becomes the law of the state?
Well, right now there are independent healthcare centers that provide abortion care in New Orleans and Jefferson Parish and Baton Rouge and Bossier City and in Shreveport. And it's my understanding that only the physician in Shreveport has been able to get admitting privileges at a local hospital. My understanding is that the physicians who are providing these services in other parts of the state have applied for and been denied admitting privileges at local hospitals.
So how many clinics do we have that are open right now?
Five. And it looks that at least three would close, possibly four.
And which one would remain open?
It looks to me, based on the information that I have, that the Hope Medical Group in Shreveport would be the only remaining health center providing that service.
And Mississippi has passed a similar law, right?
Right, and they're in litigation right now with, I think at the state level and at the federal level, because there's only one clinic that provides abortion care in Mississippi, and that would essentially be closed by this.
So essentially, we could have one clinic in Louisiana and in Mississippi. Now, Scott is a pro-life person. My guess is that you think that's a very good thing.
Well, I think, you know, where we're going to disagree is I think the fact that we have five abortion clinics is what we really have is a matter of convenient abortions. And I think that's what they're really worried about is the convenience factor will be gone. And I think that, you know, the people of Louisiana overwhelmingly are pro-life. And you know, if there's a situation where medically it's necessary or you know, life of the mother, whatever, I think there's a lot more support for that in some circles than just a matter of, hey, let's I got a 30-minute lunch break, let's pop in and have that abortion we've been talking about. And that's really what this bill is going to do away with. And I think, how can you be against that, I guess?
Oh, Scott, you know, I love you so much. I love to be here with Jim because, you know, I have to stop and take a deep breath before my brain explodes. You know, so this notion that women make the decision to have an abortion without really understanding the complexity of the situation, without you know, discussing this with their partner or husband, without considering their own values and faith, you know, and counsel of their physician, is just so ridiculous and offensive. I cannot even describe how aggravating your flippancy is to me. Now, I will tell you that my biggest aggravation is the folks that claim to be pro-life in Louisiana. What does pro-life mean? Because here we are, Jim, in a state at the end of the legislative session when we have decided not to expand Medicaid, to cut access to health care, to cut food stamps, to cut daycare for working mothers, to make it difficult. So what does pro-life mean in Louisiana?
All right, well, you're venturing off on a whole philosophical discussion.
Okay, well, I apologize. But you know, Scott knows how to push my
buttons. Well, he did, and Scott, I don't know that. I don't know of any women who would view abortion so cavalierly that they would say, hey, I'm going to go on a 30-minute lunch break and have an abortion.
Maybe an hour, but I think that it does happen, and I think you know that. I think what's offensive to me as a parent of two small children is the attitude of women that, you know, where's the care for life? Where's the desire? I mean, we wouldn't – if someone is caught throwing a puppy – in a river, they're going to get charged with cruelty to animals. They're going to go to jail for abusing a dog. Yet we want to make it as available and convenient and easy as we can make it to go in there and scrape a human being out of a woman's insides and throw her in an incinerator. Now, that's what it is. I know that sounds crude, but that's what it is.
Well, and Scott, and I'm sure he's not only riling you, but others who are listening, but he represents the majority of the Louisiana legislature. Not many lawmakers will talk the way he is right now, but I think Scott's views are reflective of the Louisiana legislature, Melissa.
You know, I disagree. They're representative of how the Louisiana legislators are voting, but they do not represent their actual opinions. Because let me tell you, there have been so many legislators that have come up to me in the hallways at the Capitol and basically apologized for their lack of courage and character, that they know they're doing the wrong thing, but they're afraid of the family forum. And so, to me, this notion that we're this tremendously pro-life state doesn't really represent the facts. I mean, we're looking at data done by LSU and other national polling that suggests that the state of Louisiana, the actual people who live here and the voters of the state, think that Roe v. Wade should remain legal, that it's a complex decision that should be made by a woman and her family, her faith, and her physician. And really what is happening is that I think a very vocal, well-organized minority has a very strong political agenda that does not necessarily reflect the population.
You didn't get much support on this.
Oh, absolutely not. We have a lot of work to do. I mean,
how many votes did you get?
Oh, I think probably 5 or 6 in the Senate and maybe 8 in the House, and then we had some folks at WAC.
Okay, so that's 14, 15 votes, 13 or 14 actually, out of 144 lawmakers. That's less than 10%.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that we don't have a lot of work to do to educate the public and educate elected mm-hmm. officials. And we're not going to change the political outcome of this anytime soon.
Well, what will Governor Jindal do with this?
I anticipate that Governor Jindal will sign the bill. Absolutely. It's part of his, you know, extremist political agenda and serves his national ambitions.
I think she's right on that. He'll sign it as fast as it can get to his desk. But, you know, the point you made is correct. It's overwhelming. You don't get too many, quote, controversial. You don't get too many bills, period, through the legislature with less than 20 or 30 votes on the other side. you especially don't get, quote, controversial bills through on 80, 90 votes in the House and 28 votes in the Senate or whatever it was. So I think this is, it's clear that, you know, maybe they don't have the, quote, courage. You say, I don't doubt that there are some senators and reps that don't feel this way but feel they have to vote that way for their district. But I do think you can't argue that there's a solid majority, maybe not a supermajority, but a majority of the legislators who feel this way and feel like we want to restrict abortion. We want to make it as rare as possible. I think most people, you know, the problem with Roe v. Wade is not abortion being legal. Most pro-life advocates I know don't want to, are not for a national law outlawing it. What they want is to return to the way it was before Roe versus Wade, where if Louisiana feels like we do, we're going to outlaw it in our borders. And if Connecticut wants to have it, well, there you go. If New Jersey wants to have it, that's their right. I mean, we don't have federal laws against murder. We don't have federal laws against a whole range of crimes. You know, we go state by state. And I think that would be the ideal outcome, I think, for most pro-life activists.
All right, we'll go to the phones in just a moment. 297-5633 is your number if you'd like to talk to Scott Wilfong, Republican political consultant who advises many lawmakers who voted yay to this measure, and Melissa Flournoy, a former state lawmaker who is now head of Planned Parenthood. When you were in the legislature, you were involved in this from the other side, weren't you?
Yes, and the access to care and abortion care in Louisiana has never been politically popular. You know, I remember when I was in the legislature 20 years ago, there were very few of us that were willing to vote no on some of the mandatory reporting and parental notification legislation. And so I do feel like it's an emotional issue that's not well understood, and I don't feel like many legislators really understand what's at stake in the decisions that women make and with their families and physicians. But here's the deal. I think that there's a lot that we should be focusing on together. The part that I'm so offended by, frankly, at a personal level, is a lack of focus on access to health care, access to family planning, access to health education. You know, Scott mentioned earlier that we all want fewer abortions, and I think that's true. But under the Governor Jindal administration, access to family planning services through the Office of Public Health have been cut by 50%. Basically, 50,000 women who would like to have access to family planning services don't have access. So if we want to talk about eliminating abortion, let's talk about access to contraception, family planning, and health education.
297-5633, Charlotte in Iberia Parish. You're on with Scott Wilfong and Melissa Flournoy. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. I'm calling. I'm a Catholic.
Please speak up.
I am a Catholic who has never had an abortion, yet I believe that when people say there is the right to life, they should consider the fact that wages should be fair so that a person, be it a man or a woman, can support their family with buying the food, the clothing, and the shelter. And that way, the men who don't want women to have abortion, they will have provided, or don't create the situation where a woman has to have an abortion, will be providing for his family.
Scott?
Well, it's just, I appreciate her point of view, but it's just so illogical that, you know, the idea of I don't have the money, so I should be allowed to kill my baby. That doesn't jibe with the values we have as a country or a state or anything else. You know, if you want equal pay, that's one thing to work for, but I've never heard someone justify a crime or murder or anything like that by saying, well, I just didn't have enough money. They should have paid me more money, and I wouldn't have robbed that liquor store. I wouldn't have robbed that bank. You know, if I could have just paid for this baby, I wouldn't have killed it. Wow. I mean, where are we as a country? I'm
Well, Scott, I think some of us actually live in the real world, and the fantasy land that you occupy is fascinating to me, because when you stop and talk to women and men who are working together to make decisions about the size of their family, who are making decisions about their future, they're making decisions about the quality of life, they're making decisions about how to pay their bills and pay for daycare and pay for health care. And unfortunately, you know, many of the decisions families have to make about family size really are driven by the economics of, can we support another child?
Right. But everything you just mentioned, there's a government program to pay for. Food for the child, daycare for the child, welfare for the child, shelter for the child.
No, all there's those not, things, Scott.
you're
going
to tell.
There's not. I'm telling you that many of the, you know, and there's a wonderful video that I'll send you a copy of called A Vital Service that has some wonderful interviews with.
All right.
With
Here's a question from Amy Rogers. She says, why can't these physicians get approved for privileges at their local hospitals?
Most of the hospitals, a lot of them are Catholic or religious-based, and they wouldn't grant the privileges. I think that's one answer.
Yeah, that's really the best answer, that here in Louisiana, most of the hospitals are either public hospitals, private nonprofit hospitals, or Catholic hospitals. The reason that hospitals provide and grant admitting privileges are for those folks that are going to do services at that hospital that are going to drive the bottom line. Most of the physicians who have admitting privileges here in the Baton Rouge area practice surgery at those hospitals. And so, you know, by nature of the safe care that's provided and that abortion is a reasonably very safe procedure, you know, none of these hospitals want to have admitting privileges for physicians, and also they don't want to draw the ire of a very vocal, organized minority that may protest them.
Rick in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Rick. You're on the air with Melissa and Scott. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
Yes, turn your radio down, Rick. And you are on the air.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what Melissa had to say. I'm an African-American. First of all, I'm really glad that I got to on your show. I've got to listen to you every day. I'm really impressed with what you're doing. My whole thing about all of this that you guys talk about every day is the lack of, I guess, the output that's happening with the African-American race as a whole. Go from day to day, listen to your show. I notice that they're, first of all, not of African Americans are not tuning in, or they're not responding to you, which I find is very
all right.
Important.
Well, what's your question?
My question is to Melissa. Is to, she spoke about how can she spoke about having a very well organized minority structure to deal with stuff. I really want to know how, what can I do. I need to find out how I could contact her and possibly. Do some work with her.
All right. How do you contact Planned
well,
Parenthood?
Our website is ppgulfcoast.org. You can go there and find my contact information. You can send me an email. You can call our phone number. Planned Parenthood has health centers in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge. And we are really trying to get the message out about access to quality health care and prevention in Louisiana. So thank you for your interest.
Headed for a break. Scott, a question for you from a listener. Are you in favor of abortion rights in the cases of rape and incest?
Personally, I might. I probably would lean more towards certain exemptions for that, yes.
Okay. 297-5633. There's another bill, House Bill 305, which is one step away from the governor, which would keep people like Melissa Flournoy, who's working for Planned Parenthood, from ever teaching at a public school in Louisiana. Is that a good idea? We'll talk about it when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Melissa Flournoy and Scott Wilfong discussing abortion in the Louisiana legislature, and the legislature's had many items to tackle, and in their wisdom, they chose to tackle several abortion bills this session. And before we go back to the phone lines, Melissa, what about the one that would keep you and others who worked for Planned Parenthood from teaching at a public school? Are you charged up about that, or are you just going to say, hey, no problem?
Well, it's House Bill 305 by Frank Hoffman that would restrict access from an abortion provider, an affiliate of an abortion provider, from providing health education in a public school system. And so we are concerned about that. It's obviously targeted to Planned Parenthood. You know, I think it's just fascinating how our elected officials don't want to talk about access to quality health care. You know, Planned Parenthood works with CDC evidence-based healthcare programs. We have master's level public health, health educators and social workers. And so this is just going to continue to eliminate access to medically accurate age-appropriate information. So, you know, I think it's a bad bill. I wish it wouldn't pass, but, you know, I think it's coming off the Senate floor today.
Do you like the bill?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, are we talking about the same organization that was videoed in undercover operations offering abortions to 15-year-old hookers and helping pimps to get their hookers taken care of? I remember that about a year ago when the undercover guys with Breitbart were infiltrating them. If that's the organization we're talking about, then yeah, I think they need to stay out of our public schools.
Where did that happen? Scott?
In multiple locations around the country, not here. Your organization would not do it. Let's talk about me,
okay? Because it's hard for me not to take this as a personal affront to my character. Okay, I started my career working in disadvantaged neighborhoods, and I have been concerned about access to medical care to reduce teen pregnancy for 25 years. Planned Parenthood is a 501c3 nonprofit. In the state of Louisiana, we have a sterling reputation for high quality health care. We work in schools where we are invited either by principals or teachers to come in and do health education programs. And so let's just be clear. Planned Parenthood in Louisiana is focused on the highest quality educational standards. And all this other stuff is just chaff in the wind.
Okay, Bob on Jefferson. Bob, good morning. You're on with Melissa and Scott.
Good morning, Jim. Always enjoy your show.
Thanks
for taking my call. Small issue on Melissa's comment. I think if you look into it, you'll find the credentialing standards for hospitals and the processes are different from what she described. The hospitals I'm familiar with have many physicians who are not actively admitting patients. It's not a requirement for being on the medical staff. The biggest reason that doctors I'm aware of that don't want to be on a medical staff is they don't want to take call. They don't want to have to go to the emergency room. They don't want to cover uninsured patients, and they're able to manage their practices outside the hospital, but they still would like to be on the staff if they didn't have the responsibility.
That's good information.
Well, I think that that's a fair statement. Unfortunately, I don't think that's completely the issue around those physicians here in our communities that are providing access to abortion care. I think that they are being eliminated from having admitting privileges for a variety of reasons, and I do think that's a real issue. But thank you for helping clarify.
Doc and Baker. Doc, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. I think I'm in the twilight zone or something here. Let me get something straight. Maybe y'all can help me. I have to pay out of my pocket to air-conditioned prisoners in Angola, and I have to also pay out of my pocket for women to get abortions. That can't be right. It can't
no,
be.
Welcome no, to no, Obama's America 2014.
No, that's not true at all. Abortion care is not paid for with any public funding whatsoever. It is not covered as an eligible expense under Medicaid. It's not covered in any public sector program. Those women in the state of Louisiana that are choosing to have this safe, legal medical procedure, in most cases are not covered by insurance, and it's a fee-for-service medical procedure. No public funding is being used.
Obamacare does have a provision for it, though.
Obamacare, oh, Scott, I just wish you, I'm going to have to send you some information and get you some facts, baby, because you live in a fact-free world. Well, and so let's just talk about Louisiana right now.
All right.
Okay?
Martha in Tara. Hi, Martha. You're on the air.
Hi. I just would like to say that I feel like Scott has done nothing but succeed in coming off like a complete jerk with his comments about how women would take off on a lunch break to get an abortion. I feel like that is a complete insult to my intelligence and to my integrity. Thank goodness there are people like Melissa out there and the whole of Planned Parenthood. They work hard every day to make sure that people have access to safe health care, and they are not pro-abortion. They are pro-reproductive rights. And if you think, Scott, that there's a social welfare network out there that would catch all of the babies of 15-year-old prostitutes, you're kidding yourself.
I appreciate the comments, but, you know, the fact is if we're a state of, 4 million people, the fact that we could possibly need 5 abortion clinics unless it were to provide convenience is that's kidding yourself, quite honestly. But, you know, I do want to talk just a minute about the bill with the Planned Parenthood in the schools. You know, I guess my question is, where does a 15-year-old need family planning advice? Don't they need parental guidance at that point? I understand 15-year-olds get pregnant. I understand that happens, but why do we need representatives from Planned Parenthood going to talk about reproductive planning with high school kids? I'd love to know that.
Well, Scott, I tell you, a lot of what Planned Parenthood does is parent education through our Real Life, Real Talk program, because I agree with you. I wish more parents in the state of Louisiana and across the country had the information and the facts and the ability to communicate with their kids about their values, about delaying sexual activity, about protecting themselves if and when they choose to be sexually active. I wish parents could, would, and did have the real talk with their mm-hmm. kids. Unfortunately, it's just not happening in most households. We're now working with churches and community groups and nonprofits to try and teach parents how to deal with their children in a very complex world.
Charles on North Foster. Hi, Charles. You're on WRKF.
Hello, Jim, and good morning to your guests. Let me say that I'm deeply embarrassed by Representative Jackson and her support of this bill. I think she's an embarrassment to the African-American community and the ladies in the long line of black women who seem to work for Governor Jindal for nothing. But let me get on to the subject at hand. I think that we have to realize that whether you're pro-choice or anti-abortion, I think we're missing this. Your guy, Scott Wilfong, I would ask him, if David Vitter had fathered a child down there in New Orleans, shouldn't we ban him from public schools? He probably thinks no. My other question is this. If God says we have the right to choose, who are we to tell women that they don't?
Wow, if God says we have the right to choose, I guess that's in 2 Matthew. I'm not familiar with which book of the Bible he's referencing, but you know, it all boils down to, do we value life in this country? I mean, every time there's an execution, there's protests, there's people clamoring. We're worried about this guy in DeSoto Parish that murdered his stepson with a screwdriver. We're trying to make sure he doesn't suffer for a few minutes, but yet we're having serious discussions about how we need to give women the right to get a quick abortion so that they're not inconvenienced.
All right.
My head's about to explode.
Scott, let's talk about children in Louisiana. This is one of the poorest states in the country. We have more children going to bed hungry than just about any other state in the country. We have more children that are victims of child abuse. We have more children. I mean, let's talk about access to health care for the born children. Let's
Tyler
talk about quality
I-12.
Of
Tyler
life.
Tyler on I-12, you're on the air. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning to y'all, too. I just had a kind of quick comment, something I've been thinking about for a while when it comes to this abortion issue, is that I think for Louisiana and having some of the lowest educated people, maybe we should work on getting them just the best education so they know what they're doing in general. I mean, if you don't have sex, then you don't have to have abortion in the first place. But I think basing everything on religion and having religious ideals around floating, it doesn't really make for a good situation when there's a lot of the people who don't want certain things, but they don't base it on religion, and it makes them look bad for that too. So I just think that, you know, maybe sex education should be something that's really in school to let kids know what they're doing so they can actually make an intelligent decision in the future instead of hushing it and hiding it from them so that when they get older, they don't know what they're doing, that they put themselves in a bad situation, and then that's where we're at right now.
Right. That's a great point. I mean, take religion out of it. I'm all for that. Dan, I think as a government, we should value life.
Dan in Spanish Town. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, it sounds like one person's from the 21st century, and the other person is, like, from the Stone Age. And obviously that would be Mr. Scott from the Stone Age. And I'll explain what that other caller meant when he said God gave everyone free choice. He meant free will, which I think you'll go along with, that we all have free will.
Free will to kill?
To make choices of our own.
I didn't know that. I didn't think I had the right to kill Melissa sitting here in the studio.
All right. Natalie writes, Scott, just to comment on the fact that a state our size only has 4 abortion clinics. You said 5, but she says, I'm a resident of Lafayette. The nearest clinic is in Baton Rouge. You must go for an exam, then follow up with the procedure another day. That's 2 days off work plus travel. It's not about convenience. It's about affordability.
2 days to end a life. Wow. I guess you really are informed after 2 days of making that, to make that monumental decision.
Well, Scott, you're a man. Men are involved in the process of creating children. What is the responsibility of men in Louisiana to avoid unwanted pregnancy?
Well, I think there's a role that your organization does play that's very valuable, and that is truly family planning, preemptive, you know.
Now, what's the role of the man? What is the man's responsibility? I would like the pro-life movement to launch a campaign about male responsibility. Women would not be pregnant if they were not impregnated by a man.
But you're assuming it's consensual. It does take two. It takes two willing participants.
Well, here's an email along those lines from Jenny. She says, I cannot believe the ignorance that this man is spitting out. Abortion is not equivalent to murder, robbery, or drowning a puppy. It's a woman's choice, and in most cases, a responsible choice. Should a 14-year-old child be a parent? Should a young woman who is struggling to pay off student loans and trying to pursue a career after graduation be a mother? What kind of life would she be able to provide for her child? No woman wants to just kill a growing being inside of her for fun, and no woman who has considered her options and chose abortion would ever force anyone to terminate a pregnancy. I realize that you could say there is a consequence to sexual activity, but all it takes is one encounter, and no one would punish a young boy for being sexually active.
But,
Scott, your response.
But what a contradictory statement. She says a living being growing inside her. She acknowledges, you know, the one time I can respectfully encounter someone who's pro-choice is when they just simply say, I don't believe that baby inside me is alive. I believe it is like a mole growing on my arm. It is nothing but a mass of cells. But women don't feel that way. When they see the ultrasound and they see the heartbeat, they understand it's a living being. This person who just emailed, a living being growing inside of me. And we're going to say that decision should be based on finances? I don't have a good job, so I should be allowed to just end this life? What in the world are we talking about
all
here,
right,
Jim?
Well, Nicholas says, should we teach sexuality in school?
You know, that's a tough debate. I think if you truly have school choice, like what Governor Jindal wants, then I think it's fine to teach it, because then the parents have the right to say, I don't want this taught to my child. I'm going to put them in a school where it's not. I really don't have a problem. It might be seen as somewhat moderate for a conservative, but I don't have a problem with teaching sex education in public schools, because, like you said, the reality is that parents aren't doing it.
All right. Here's one from Delia saying, conservatives like Scott care more about the potential for life from the date of conception to birth. Thereafter, it's a Darwinian world in which only fittest and those with lobbyists in Washington survive.
You know, I actually appreciate that comment, because if a true liberal should be 100% pro-life. Because how can you favor social programs that care for a human being from the day they're born till the day they die, but yet favor programs that will end their life while in the womb? That is, to me, illogical. I think conservatives sometimes are too harsh with ending social programs, some of the medical, the psychiatric care that we've cut in this state. I have problems with that. But shouldn't we care about the baby while he's still inside the
all
mother?
Right. Well, Michelle.
So wait a minute. So let me follow up, because I'm loving this right now. So, Scott, are you for expanding Medicaid? Are you for raising the minimum wage? Are you for expanding access for women who are pregnant to have access to health care for the first year after they have a child? Because none of those social safety nets exist in Louisiana.
We just passed the Affordable Care Act that extends health care to every American. So, yes, they have that.
No,
it's
they don't,
It's a financial
Scott,
decision about expanding Medicaid.
We have not expanded Medicaid. People in the state of Louisiana have the least access to health care as anywhere in the country. So the Affordable Care Act we have this gender gap, for lack of a better description, for access here in Louisiana.
They have an option.
And so their option is what?
Is to enter into the federal exchange. They don't have to go through the state.
If you are making less than 200% of poverty, or even now 300% of poverty, you are not effectively eligible for the Affordable Care Act. That's why the expansion of Medicaid is so vitally important for the health care gap in Louisiana. And so I am thrilled to death that you are for expanding access to health care for pregnant women in Louisiana, and I will follow up with you on that opportunity.
That will be a great discussion to have.
All right, well, thank both of you for joining us today. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Scott. And we'll see where this goes. Last hurdles to the Louisiana Senate could happen today. Melissa could be banned from teaching in public schools. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, sometime soon. Until then, for Frank Barnett, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.